Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
It's time for our weekly check-in with Scott Kleinberg, social media strategist and social media guru. And Scott, what's the update on how these various social media companies are doing in response to the pandemic?
Good morning, Bob. Let's see here. Well, there's actually some new stuff that's going on with that. For example, there's this really cool thing that Instagram is doing. They've launched, you may have seen this if you've been on Instagram, they launched this thing called a stay-at-home sticker. It's for Instagram stories. Those are the things that disappear after 24 hours. So basically what it is you take a picture and you get ready to post it to your story for your followers to see. And there's this sticker that comes up that says, stay home. It has a little logo, and you take it, you put it on your photo, and then when you share your photo, it not only goes to your followers, but it goes to everybody who is monitoring this stay-at-home story. So it's like a curated thing that Instagram is doing, and the point is really, really cool. The point is, A, to let people see a little bit of an insight into how you're making the most of your time when you're at home, and B, it's to send a message, which is you should be staying home and not going out when it's not necessary. So that's actually a really, really cool thing. And at the same time, Facebook, which is also, you know, Instagram company, they're investing $100 million to help 30,000 small businesses in over 30 countries just to find a way to pay back and help them for, you know, the people who have lost their jobs. The only thing about this is the funding eligibility isn't clear yet. They say they're going to provide more information soon and start taking applications. But it's good to see that the social media companies are jumping in to help where it's possible.
Yes, it is. And other than people spending more time on social media, are you seeing differences in how we're all using the various platforms?
You know, I really, really am, and it's really heartening in a way. It's a much more united message and a much more united front, especially on Twitter. So, you know, Twitter is the place where, you know, we've talked about this so many times. Twitter is the place where you go to keep up on the most important information. But at the same time, it's also being used as a way to help for people to get, you know, to actually help themselves get through a difficult time. So to answer questions about best practices, about, you know, washing hands and doing all those things, but at the same time, where to find groceries and toilet paper. So I'm seeing more posts like, this particular Walgreens in the Chicago area had toilet paper 25 minutes ago. And while 25 minutes is a long time on social media, and the toilet paper was probably gone in 25 seconds, the point being, these people are actually coming together and trying to help people. Now, don't get me wrong. Social media is still full of terrible people, and I can say that because I've been doing this for a long time. But what it's definitely doing is it's bringing out the best in people, because people are realizing that we're all in this together. We're all doing the same thing, and if we don't all do it together, we're not going to be able to be successful.
Yep, and let's hope there continues to be more positives than negatives on social media. Lots of big-time entertainment available free to us now, too.
Yeah, that's something that's really been interesting to watch develop. So here's an example that I absolutely love that I have to point out. So Saturday night, Neil Diamond posts a video from his home in front of his fireplace. His dog is with him. He's got a guitar in hand. And now the one thing to keep in mind is, I don't know if you follow Neil Diamond, but he hasn't been in the spotlight lately. He stopped recording because he came down with, was diagnosed with Parkinson's. So you haven't really seen much of him. But here he is online with his guitar and his dog, and he starts singing Sweet Caroline. And everybody knows Sweet Caroline, so of course everybody starts singing along. But the great thing is, at the part where the lyrics go touching hands, he changes it to washing hands. And after that, it normally goes touching me, touching you, and he changes it to don't touch me and I won't touch you. And the thing about that is, it's exactly what people needed at that moment. So you go from the most trending hashtag being Democrats and Republicans hate each other to to Neil Diamond sings great songs, and it just instantly like boosts everything. And you know, you can't, I mean, we can't hide behind this stuff. You know, the stuff that's serious is going on all around us. But sometimes, and I think any psychologist would say this, sometimes we just need a break. And something like that was just a really, really cool thing to see. And he's not the only one. You know, there's lots of other celebrities that are doing this. One of the things I've been noticing is Trevor Noah from The Daily Show. He changed the entire show to this home-based short format where he basically does the best of, and he talks about everything that's going on, which is fantastic. And next week, Conan O'Brien is supposed to do his show from, he says, from home and an iPhone. So, you know, there's just all this stuff going on at the same time. Michael Stipe from REM did something the other day where he sang "The End of the World as We Know It, But I Feel Fine." I mean, it like perfectly fits, you know. It's just, it's really nice to see all these people coming together.
You know, frequently, as you know, Scott, I kid and say that I have surfed around and gone to every site on the internet to find out what's interesting out there. Well, yes. We probably have enough time to do that now, so it's good that we have these options. Continuing with social media strategist Scott Kleinberg. Scott, if you're working from home, can your employer still keep track of what you're doing?
They can. And this is a really interesting thing, I think, to point out. They can, and they probably will want to, in theory, simply because it's a new world that we're living in. People are, I mean, it used to be, you know, there, of course, there are jobs that are always going to be remote, but there are, you know, some cases where people have never worked from home. So there are some bosses out there, I'm sure, that are feeling very, very concerned. They should make sure that their employees are doing everything that they're supposed to do and they're not slacking off. So yes, that's definitely a thing, but it's no different than if you were in the office. If you're in the office and you're on your computer's network, the same information that's available when you're in your office is available when you're from home. And I think that's what a lot of people don't realize. If you've ever heard the term, and I'm sure a lot of people have, if you've ever heard the term using VPN to dial in, VPN stands for virtual private network. It basically means you're dialing into your work server from home. So once you've done that, you are able to be monitored. And there are all kinds of businesses out there and all kinds of ways that employers could monitor people. You know, they can monitor your keystrokes. They could actually technically monitor your video camera on your computer. There's all kinds of ways. I don't necessarily think that they're sitting there doing that. I think that the possibility is certainly there because, you know, it's a new world and everything has changed. But, you know, just the fact is, just assume when you're working from home that you're working from the office. That way you don't make a mistake that, you know, someone will catch you doing something you're not supposed to do.
Let me run a couple of things by you that I saw.
Yeah.
I don't know whether you heard about this or know much about this, but a lot of people are using Zoom now for meetings.
Oh, yeah.
And
I am too.
Are you? Well, what's this about an attention tracking feature that can alert hosts if you look away? Really?
So this is a little bit confusing on Zoom's part. So let me try to break it down a little bit. It's not when you're doing an actual video conference. Well, it is. It's when you're doing a video conference with Zoom, but you have to actually use the screen share function. So that's when, you know, you're on your laptop and you say, I'm going to share my screen, and you look at what's on your screen. That's like a video chat within a video chat is the way I look at it. That has something where if you opt into it, it's a setting. If you opt into it, then they can monitor, you know, whether you're looking away at the screen or whether you're not. The chances of someone actually using that feature or making that feature work reliably, to me, it's next to impossible because there's so many things that have to happen before you could actually use that. But it's no different than there's actually, I don't know if you know this, there's actually software out there where when people are trying to see what part of a website is getting the most traction, what part of the website is interesting people the most, they can actually tell based on your eyes using software where you go first. Do you go to the story? Do you go to the photo? So this is like a similar thing, but the chances, like I said, the chances of it actually happening are probably slim, but just know that it's out there. The fact that it's possible is fascinating enough.
Well, you know, these days, if you know, this happens to me all the time. My wife's on the phone with somebody, so I'll walk into her room where she's talking to somebody to say hi, right. And then I'll realize, uh-oh, it's FaceTime. I better put my pants on here. You know, so you got, in front of the computer screen now, you know, you want to be fully clothed probably these days. You know?
You know what? You know what's really, really funny? In my notes, I always prepare notes when I talk to you, and I actually wrote in all capital letters, "Do not work without pants on." It's right here. And the reason I wrote that is because if you don't get dressed for what you're doing in an average day, you're not going to feel like you're at work. The more you feel like you're at work, the more you'll feel like working from home is working from work. So I'm really glad to hear that we're on the same page about that, Bob. That makes me feel a lot better.
Maybe for different reasons. Yeah, Rich Roper had a good column about it the other day about how you can't work in your PJs, you know, and he gets dressed because it's the business mode you got to get into. And it's hard if you're not, you know, wearing the clothes that you might wear to the work. So
it's totally the business mode. You won't want to work if you're not acting like you're at work. That's why I say, you know, I mean, I'm not a remote working expert, but I do know in the times that I've done it, you know, it's important. Take a coffee break. Take a lunch break. If you're supposed to start your work day at 9 o'clock and end it at 5 o'clock, turn on your computer at 9, turn it off at 5. Separate your work from your home, even if you're in your home, and it won't feel like you're necessarily work. I mean, the importance is making sure that you have a routine. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, it's a challenge, but the folks who can do the job at home and can keep working, they're the lucky ones right now.
Cool. They sure are.
Scott Kleinberg, always good talking to you, and we'll check in with you next week again, Scott.
Sounds great, Bobby. Take care.
All right, have a good day.